about concerning tonight. Mark chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 25. The Bible says, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment, and she said, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Amen. I want to focus there in verse number 27. The Bible said that she came in the press behind. She came in the press behind. Now, what we know and what we understand is that Jesus had come to town. Somebody had been talking about everything that he had done, because she heard that he was there. She perceived that if she could get into his presence and get to him somehow, some way, that she would be healed. But there was a variable. And the variable was that lots of people had heard, and lots of people were around. Some may have been just rubbernecking. Some may have been there for specific needs. As a matter of fact, probably many, many were there for specific needs. It did not diminish her need. She had a great need. It had it for 12 years, and she had suffered many things because of many physicians. She had a need. But yet between her and her healing was a variable. And it was basically opposition. Between her and whom she felt she could get healing from was something that she had to get through. She needed healing, but she had to get through the opposition in order to get the healing. Healing did not come because she wanted it. Healing did not come because that she was in the vicinity. Healing did not come because that she was in the presence of Jesus Christ. Hundreds was in the presence of Jesus Christ, and hundreds had needs, but hundreds did not have miracles. I don't know how many people were healed that day. I don't know how many people were not healed that day. I just want us to understand that just because she was in the presence of Jesus did not mean that she got her miracle. She had to continue to press to get through the opposition to receive her healing. And so tonight I want to preach to us about reaction towards opposition. Reaction towards opposition. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings, for every time that you have talked to us, for every time that you have dealt with us, ministered to us, moved upon us, touched us, healed us, oh God. We are extremely grateful for it, and we give you a heart full of praise. We lift our voices and our hearts unto you, Jesus, and magnify you, God, for every touch. For you being so faithful unto us tonight. God, I know, Lord Jesus, the word that you have laid upon my heart. And I pray, God, that you would help me to deliver it tonight. I pray, God, that you would help me, O Lord Jesus, to be able, God, to speak it, Lord, even as you have laid it upon my heart and given me understanding and revelation concerning it. And then I pray, God, that there would be a divine visitation, a witness of the Spirit, as we come together in unity. And as we begin to pray and seek after you, Lord God, I pray that you would show up in even a greater way. And that your angels would come down, Lord, being dispatched from the heavens. And that you would touch and heal your people tonight. And we will be quick to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Would you just magnify the Lord with me here tonight? Thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Opposition is nothing new to anybody in this building. We all understand what opposition is, and if you go to the dictionary, it's not going to give you anything that is mind-blowing. And some type of new revelation or new understanding concern opposition. Opposition is exactly what you think that it is. It is simply resistance or dissent. And there are other varying definitions of opposition, but in all reality, it just comes down to resistance and or dissent. Opposition. You have faced opposition many times. I have faced opposition many times. We have faced spiritual opposition, physical opposition, emotional opposition, financial opposition, health oppositions. We have faced all kinds of oppositions. You have faced friendly opposition. You have faced enemy opposition. You felt great opposition and even small opposition. Opposition is almost as old as the earth is old. There was always opposition. Opposition, even for what it is worth, basically was in pressure against God's spoken word. The Bible said that the earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon it. It was chaos. It was chaotic there. And everything that was going on was in opposition. And God spoke words and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen. There was an opposing force against light. Light won out. There was an opposing force against Adam and Eve as they were in the garden. It was not just living life, amen, just free as they want to, but there was a serpent who got in and began to speak to Eve and beguiled her, and the opposition caused her to partake of the forbidden fruit. We would see that the children of Israel would feel opposition, would be overwhelmed by opposition, and would even cry out to the Lord because of their adversary, the pressure that they were feeling in their bondages of slavery. The children of Israel were oftentimes opposed and harassed by the Philistines on constant basis. Everywhere, all the time, it was new opposition. Not just from a new enemy or a new individual, but it was the same people representing the same enemies, the same satanic forces that would oppose the people of God, amen, to draw them into slavery, into bondage. There were the temptations of idolatry throughout Israel's history, that when the Philistines were not able to physically overwhelm them, idols and the temptation of idolatry was too much for the children of Israel to resist, and that opposition pressed them, and they gave in to that. And they again lived in slavery for years because of the opposition that they did not defeat, get through. Yet there is a remedy. that God hath given us for these situations. And just for a moment of time, I want to bring this to your attention. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible said the Lord would say, he was talking after that Samuel had dedicated the temple, and he would begin to speak to Samuel, and he said, "This is the place that I have chosen to put my name upon, and I will bless it, and I will multiply blessings upon it, and you're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God." And he said, "But if there ever comes a day that I turn the rain of heaven off, and that I turn the dew of the ground off, and that I oppose you, I want you to know that if you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear you in heaven, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land." This is a principle that God gave to his people to pull his hand of affliction away from his people. He said, "I'm going to turn off the rain of heaven. I'm going to turn off the dew of the ground." And so you're going to feel that opposition. You're not walking in agreement with me. You're going to feel my pressure, my opposition, my resistance. And so if you will humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways, amen, you will turn my hand of opposition from you. I will turn on the rain of heaven, the dew of the ground, and I will heal your land. And so what would happen when God's hand of affliction is not against his people, and it's just spiritual opposition towards God's people? Amen. God said, if it's my hand against yours, if I am opposing you, if you will pray, humble yourself, turn from your wicked ways, and seek my face, my hand of opposition will be pulled from you. And so what we are asking here tonight is, what if it is opposition that is not from God? I simply submit to you tonight that if we would humble ourselves and pray and make sure that our ways are right with God and seek his face, that he will step in and turn the opposition away from us. We see this replete throughout scriptures of how that the children of Israel would be surrounded, would be afflicted, would be in a great way oppressed by the enemy, where there was no victory, and they would cry out to God. An example of here, Hezekiah with Sennacherib on the outside, and Hezekiah took the letter from Sennacherib, went in, feeling the opposition of the enemy, would set the letter on the ground and lay before God. And God heard it, and God stepped in, amen, and defeated the opposition that was against Hezekiah and the people there. And so the principle would work. As a matter of fact, we see this in the book of Exodus chapter number 2, that in the process of time, king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up to God for the reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them because of the opposition that they were feeling from the Egyptians. Amen. They were feeling this pressure. And so they cried out to God. And God went onto the backside of a desert where Moses was. And in a burning bush, God would begin to speak to him, and God would tell Moses that he was going to send them. He said, I'm come down to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians and bring them up into a good land. Amen. A large land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Amen. God used the same principle to come against opposition. Amen. He says it like this. It doesn't matter if my hand is against you or the enemy's hand is against you. If you will humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, I will stand up. I will step in. I will come down. I will heal your land, and I will cause there to be no opposition against you. According to Daniel chapter number 6, Daniel was a man that prayed 3 times a day. And in chapter 10, he describes as earnest prayer that lasted for 3 weeks because that he was feeling the opposition of the king and the enemy upon him. And so he prays, and it lasted for 3 weeks. And the angel would come down and tell Daniel, listen, I heard your prayer the first day, and it just took me some time to get down to you. But here I am 21 days later, and God broke the opposition. We know that Hannah would submit herself and humble, feeling the mental opposition of not having a child. And she cried and prayed unto God, and God gave her a child. Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years, feeling the opposition of the king and the queen against him. 3.5 years, Elisha would pray earnestly again. Amen. And rain would fall. Amen. Upon the land. Hezekiah's prayer, feeling the opposition of judgment placed against him, as Isaiah would look at him and say, set your house in order because you're only going to live a few days. That was an opposing force against him. A word against him, his psyche, his mentality, mentalness. And he turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And God's hand of opposition against him lifted. And God granted him 15 more years of life. Esther's prayer, why did she pray? She felt the opposition of Mordecai and Haman. Amen. Felt the opposition of Mordecai, of Haman, and the gallows that was there against her and the people. Amen. And feeling it. And what did she do? She fasted for 3 days and she prayed, and God broke the opposition that was against her. Praise God. Jonah's prayer would get him out of the belly of a whale. Jesus' prayer, amen, fighting against the opposition of his own personal will, amen, would keep his flesh from getting in the way of the divine will of God. The Bible said in the book of Acts 4:31 that when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were praying. There were some that was there in unbelief, some that was there in expectation, but yet there was an opposition of just something not happening. Amen. It was not, we walk into the upper room, or we walk into the church, and bam, I got my answer, got my healing, got my salvation, and walked out. But they walked in, and it did not come immediately. It did not happen with the first amen. Did not happen with in Jesus' name. Did not happen like they may have expected. But the Bible said that when they prayed, the place was shaken. Opposition was loosed. Amen. And God filled people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Cornelius is there feeling the opposition, amen, of his race, of who that he was, born into the family. I'm just a Gentile. No promises of God. A heavy opposition of despair was about him. But he prayed and prayed and prayed. afraid and refused to give up. And finally, amen, an angel would come down and tell him what he needed to do. He pressed through the opposing opposition. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed there in their stocks and bonds in the prison, stuck into the inner part of the prison with guards on the sides. Amen. But they did not allow that opposition to affect them. The Bible said that they prayed and they sang, and suddenly, amen, this place was shaken and the doors of the jail began to open. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let's love him here today. Amen. The Bible speaks of another man by the name of Peter that was in the jail, and that he was going to be killed. People feeling the opposition against the church and against the man of God. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter number 12, amen, that in verse number 12, that when Peter had considered these things, now the jail has already been opened, and Peter walks out, and there he is. But when he considers these things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And the Bible said, where many were gathered together praying. Hallelujah. They were praying for the man of God. They were praying, amen, for the opposition that they were feeling. Amen. Peter is feeling opposition. Amen. The man of God is feeling opposition. And the people are feeling opposition. And so they are praying, God, somehow or another, you've got to break this spell, this opposition that we are up against. And while they are praying, the answer began to knock on the door. Amen. And they were so engrossed in prayer. Hallelujah. I could preach for a little while here tonight, but let me just say, don't be afraid to lift your voice. Don't be afraid to get caught up in the spirit of prayer, because we see this happening. Amen. That while Peter is knocking on the door, nobody even hears what is going on, because they are so concentrated praying against that spirit of opposition that they are feeling. And finally, some young girl goes and sees Peter at the door and would report it. But it was prayer that broke the opposition. A large prayer meeting had convened, but it was more than just a large prayer meeting. Amen. It was a powerful prayer meeting. Somebody was saying, I'm not going to let opposition get the best of this situation. I don't care what your situation is here tonight. I don't care if it's financial, mental, or health. I don't care what it is. Amen. The opposition that is against you. I am simply saying, through the principle of the Word of God, if we can humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, God will come through. Prayer cannot be bypassed. Prayer cannot be skipped. Amen. Prayer is so vital. Prayer is so beneficial. Prayer is so effective. But I simply ask you the question tonight, where do we have the least showing in all of church? Pre-service prayer, prayer meeting. It seems to be the thing that if I'm going to miss something, I'm going to miss pre-service prayer, I'm going to miss prayer meeting. Faith is put in worship. Faith is put in music. Faith is put in singing. Faith is put in shouting. Faith is put in something else other than prayer. But the Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Prayer is the vital. Amen. Tuesday night prayer meeting is only boring because you allow it to be boring. Tuesday night prayer meeting is only ineffective because we allow it to be ineffective. pre-service prayer doesn't get to amen its potential because we don't make it become its potential. Amen. Why? Because there is such opposition to the church in the moments and in the times of prayer. Because the enemy knows, amen, what happens when the church begins to humble themselves and fall upon their knees and pray. I tell you today that when the church begins to pray, the enemy can't stay around very long. When the church begins to pray, the enemy's opposition is never good enough, never strong enough. Amen. The Bible said that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. I just wonder what 30 and 40 could do if we could bind together in a unity, amen, in a spirit of prayer and pray until all of heaven comes down and hell turns loose. Praise God. I know that you probably don't understand, and some of it may not be seeable, but we are working so diligently, amen, to better our music, and we've got good music, but our musicians are working diligently. And Brother Daniel, forgive me. Brother Daniel, this guy's going to be an electric guitar stud. I just haven't got him on the schedule. We're talking to my wife, and so, anyways, we've just been so busy and so overwhelmed and such like that. But, amen, he's been working diligently upon playing the guitar and stuff. And so, we're going to add an electric guitar to the band. Amen. If the bass player would just get better. Everybody's working. Everybody's trying. Singers are working. We got other things that are working. We've got singers are having problems with some of the things that we're working with and such. But everybody's working through the opposition, the learning curve of it, because we want to be better. And so the musicians want to be better. The singers want to be better. Worship leaders are doing a phenomenal job. And worship leaders have become so good and leading worship, and I'm so thankful for that, and help that is there, and such, and some of you may not know it, but we got another star rising up among us, amen, Sister Maya, amen, she gonna sing the house down, amen, God's given her a voice, and I'm telling you what, that little lady in flat sing, and she's been up here on Tuesday nights singing and stuff, and I was like, my Lord. Where has she been? Where have we need? Amen. We got to do something about this. So we're working. Amen. But you know what is even more important than all of that? It's prayer. It's more important than all of that. Our musicians need to work. I need to work. Amen. Singers, we need to work. We need to practice. We need to come together. We need to practice. Amen. I spend hours constantly. Somebody said, man, if I was a preacher and I didn't have to have a job, many days I'd swap with you in a heartbeat. Amen. Just constantly, you know, it's one of those deals. It's like a bank account. You know, if you don't put anything in the bank, you can't draw anything out of the bank. And so if I'm not reading, if I'm not studying, how would you like to live life? Now, it's not exactly like that, but how would you like to live life preparing research papers, amen, 3 or 4 research papers every day of your life? I mean, I got 2 research papers due on every Sunday. I've got 2 research papers due. Wednesday night, I got 2 research papers. I got a research paper due. Amen. And so I'm researching and studying and reading and stuff, because if I don't put anything in, nothing comes out. And then the most important thing is I got to please the master. And so I got to spend time with the master and such like that. But anyways, we got all these things that we're working on. But beyond all of that is prayer. We need to put as much and more diligence into prayer. Amen. Then we need good music. We need good singing. We need good preaching. We need good things like that. But we have to have good prayer. We cannot afford to bypass prayer. We can't sweep prayer to the side. We can't, amen, let something else substitute, amen, the power of prayer. We've got to bring prayer to the front, and we've got to make sure that we're having good prayer. prayer. In pre-service prayer, we got to have good prayer. Tuesday night prayer meeting, we got to have good prayer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When they prayed, God came down. When they prayed, God answered. God healed. God touched. God broke the opposition. You know why you're facing such opposition in your life and you feel like you're being overwhelmed? Because you're not spending adequate and efficient time in prayer. You got to pray. You got to pray. Praise God. So we know that prayer was used against spiritual opposition. Spiritual opposition can represent the hand of God against His people. Spiritual opposition can represent the enemy opposing God's people. But spiritual opposition has always been confronted effectively by and through prayer. Amen? Amen. So let's pinpoint. Let's delve into a little bit further. Identify opposition. Identifying opposition. We have got to identify. We have been talking about recognizing the enemy so that we can resist him. And we talked about resisting the devil. And this could be, you know, part of that whole series. You've got to resist the devil. You cannot allow the devil just to wreak havoc in your life. And sometimes he'll oppose you very subtly. Sometimes he'll oppose you as a roaring lion. Sometimes he'll oppose you very subtly. And if you're not sensitive to God, you're not going to recognize the subtlety of the devil. And the devil's going to have reign in your life. We talked about not giving place to the devil. And we all understand and know that of importance. That is very important. I cannot give place to the devil. But in order to not give place to him, I cannot be ignorant of his devices. All of that is scriptural. All of those are scriptures in the Bible. Let us not be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Another place he said, give not place to the devil. And so I can't be ignorant of his devices. I got to be wise enough to understand that my weaknesses are the devil's strengths. And he's going to use my weaknesses against me and such. And so we talked about not giving place to the devil means 100%. You cannot give place to the devil in one area and expect to command him to flee in another area. He's just going to mock you and laugh. Amen. And so you have got to understand that. And to ignore that is detrimental to you. For me to ignore that is detrimental to me. Let me explain, since I'm pastoring right now. Let me explain. You cannot tell the devil to get out of your life in certain areas of your life if you're willing to allow him to rule your life in another area. If you don't give God everything, you've heard this said before, he's either God of all or he's not God at all. You can't live over here with spiritual victory in one area of your life while you're over here, amen, sinning and doing other things in this area of your life. You can't be over here, you know, if you're not being faithful to God in all areas, if you're not faithful to God in attendance, if you're not faithful to God in tithing and offerings, if you're not faithful to God, you can't be over here rebuking the devil about other things in your life when he's got rule in this area of your life. You are the one that allowed him to live here. And as long as you allow him to live here, you cannot rebuke him over here and tell him to get out. You're just going to be a mockery. Amen. You want total victory in your life, kick the devil out completely. Line up to the Word of God. Start living a way that the Bible teaches you, and you can have victory. I didn't say that you wouldn't face opposition, but if you're like that and you face opposition, you know what to do. You can go pray, and when you pray, God looks down and he says, you know what? They're doing what I need them to do. They're doing like I want them to do, and I'm going to step in. Isn't that what he said? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, where did you get called by the name of Jesus? In the waters of baptism. If my people, which are called by my name, shall, number one, humble yourself, get rid of your pride. Humble yourselves. Number two, pray. Number three, seek my face. Too many people are seeking the hands of God. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to come through here. I need you to bless me here. I need you to take care of this. I need you to do this. I need you to. He didn't say seek my hands. He said seek my face. That means seek his favor. You can look at your parents and you can tell real quick, I have their favor. Because they're smiling, they're gleaming at you. But you can also look at mom and dad and you say, whoa, wait a second. Back up here a little bit. I'm out of arm's reach. I don't quite have the favor of mom, dad right now. Yeah, favor is your face is representative of favor. He said, seek my face. And then he said this, turn from your wicked ways. In other words, everything that you're doing wrong, all the sin that you're doing, and I don't have to stand up here and say, this is sin, 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 this is sin. You know what you're doing wrong. He said, seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then, and only then I will hear you and I will heal your land. You see, all of this comes into play. You don't have this magical touch. I don't have this magical touch that we just command God to do what we want to do. We humble ourselves and line up. And as we line up, we get his favor. And then we have his favor. There's no force that can stand before us. Amen. I read the other day, somebody said, you know, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. That's Bible. Did you know? No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, but you can sure be against yourself and cause you great distress and harm. Amen. Sometimes the devil can't do anything to you, but you, he don't have to because you do it yourself. Praise God. How did I get up on all of this? As I ain't in my notes. I ain't go back to my notes. Amen. And so we've got to be able to pray against this opposition. Now, we're pinpointing this opposition because there's many different types of opposition. Many, 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 many different types. We've already talked about it. Mental opposition, physical opposition. We've talked about heavy, weak opposition, strong power of opposition. We've talked about financial opposition. We've talked about health oppositions and such like that. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight. Amen. Bible, let me go consult my notes. The Bible speaks in the book of Luke, chapter number 13. Book of Luke, chapter number 13, verse number 11. Jesus is walking by this lady, and he beholds this woman, looks at this lady. Now, if I could paint a mental picture for you, she is bent over in despair. I don't know exactly all that that entails, but what I do know is she's not standing up straight. She's bent over. There's something that's wrong with her. Brother Garrett, if I walked up to you like this, would you think something's wrong with me? Yeah. It doesn't take a lot of spirituality to figure that out, does it? Yeah, you don't have to say, oh, I wonder if something's wrong. If he says that he doesn't know if something's wrong, you just reach over and slap him. Because common sense tells you there's something wrong. And she's bent over. And Jesus, walking by, looks at her, beholds her, sees her. Notice what Jesus says. I can tell you what he didn't say, first of all. He didn't look at her and say, oh, something's wrong with her. Because we all know that. Those that were standing around Jesus knew something's wrong with her. Those that knew her and was with her knew something's wrong with her. She personified that. She exemplified that. Oh, the Bible says she was bent over. Oh. Jesus didn't look at her and say, something's wrong with her. No, he said, she has a spirit of infirmity. Now, if we were to go to the book of John, chapter number, I believe it's 5, chapter number 5. If we were to go to the book of John, chapter number 5, Jesus is here again. Now, he's in a different place. He's at the pool of Bethesda. And there's a lot of people with problems there. And there's a man laying down. Well, that's loud. And Jesus looked at him and said, something's wrong with him. You see what I'm saying? She has a spirit of infirmity. Man laying down, and he walks up and says, he has an infirmity. That's exact words. He looks at the woman and says, she has a spirit of infirmity. He looks at the man and says, he has an infirmity. Both of them had an infirmity. That they were from two different sources. The man had a physical infirmity. The woman had a spirit of infirmity. His was due to physical problems. Hers was due to spiritual problems. And the Lord recognized this. And here's people bringing her to Jesus, bringing her to other people and saying, pray for her, pray for her. Pray that she would be healed. 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 Here's a man saying, if I can just get to the water, I'll be healed. And Jesus said, I don't need to pray for her healing. I need to pray against the problem. I need to pray against the cause of the problem. And so many times we can get caught up in looking, facing, dealing with the effect of things, and we don't understand, and we are blind to the cause of things. Jesus said, she has a spirit of infirmity. He said, he has an infirmity. He recognized the difference there, but they both had an infirmity. And you know what? The word in Luke 13 and the word in John 5 is the exact same word. And that word infirmity means exactly what you think it means. Weakness, sickly, feeble. That's what that word means. They were sick. They were sickly. They were feeble. They were weak. They were prone to sickness and such. It was an infirmity that was against both of them. But Jesus said she has a spirit of infirmity and he has an infirmity. We've got to be able to recognize this and understand this because everybody that comes up here to be prayed for, amen, as we are praying for them that God would touch them and God would heal them, amen, sometimes, amen, they're not receiving their healing because it's not a matter of healing in that sense, even though it is an infirmity, amen, but it is a spiritual oppression. It is a diabolical oppression. Praise God. Don't go off and leave me now. Praise God. Her condition was a spiritual cause. Amen. This was not simply an illness or an injury, but Jesus identified it as bondage from Satan that required deliverance and not just healing. Don't anybody get scared here. Amen. But in Luke 13 and 16, amen, Jesus said, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound to these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" But to the man that had an infirmity, he just said, "Take up your bed and walk." But to the woman, he had to speak to the issue and to the cause. And somebody says, "Well, how do I know if I have a spirit of infirmity or I have an infirmity?" Amen. How do I know the difference? Amen. First of all, we got to pray. And we got to pray to discern what is there. But oftentimes we just say, "No, the Bible said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In Jesus' name, you're going to be healed." What do you mean you weren't healed Sunday night? In Jesus' name, you're going to be healed. In Jesus' name, you're going to be healed. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and it just doesn't seem to go away. Amen. You know what the Bible says emphatically? Amen. It is a principle that is established in Scripture. Amen. The Bible said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." I understand and know that we've got a ton of believers in this place. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is a principle that is established in the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God says, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto," amen, "unto Jesus." He said, "is given unto me," amen, "both in heaven and in earth." Amen. He's got all power. There is not a power that the devil has that is stronger than the power of Jesus. Amen. We've just got to be able to understand and recognize so that we can come against the cause rather than just the effect of it. Amen. Because if it's just an effect, it's going to surface again and again and again and again and again. And this is what has been bothering me, amen, to no end. This is what has bothered me. This is what has kept me up at night. This is what has caused me to pray. This is what has caused me to come into the sanctuary, to drive down the road, amen, thinking to myself, why, amen, I don't understand it. Amen, we're living right. We're doing right. We're spitting white. We're talking right. We're doing everything right. But yet I've got these people that are not being healed. Amen, we're praying. We're doing what the Bible says. Amen, we're anointing with oil and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. God, that's what your word said. I just don't understand it. Amen, I don't have to call names, but some of you in here, amen, you've been to doctors and the doctors can't find out what's wrong with you. Amen, the doctors have said, "Well, maybe it's this. I'm going to send you to this specialist." And you go to this specialist and it doesn't end. Sounds like a woman with an issue of blood that had went to many different physicians for many different years and had suffered many different things because of it. Physicians telling you this is what you got to do and you'll feel better, and you do it and you don't really feel better. You get reprieve, you get relief from this and that and stuff. Amen. But it hasn't fixed it. It hasn't done it. Amen. Praise God. I got to be careful here. Whew. And it just won't go away. Just won't go away. And we pray and people feel good and people come back with a report. And then, you know, it's not so good. You know, it was good for a few days. It was good for a couple of weeks and it's not so good. And it seems like it's back and stuff. You know what? I faced this spirit several years ago. Several years ago, I faced this spirit. Had a man by the name of Glenn Godare. He was 80-something years old. He went into the hospital for colon cancer. They took his colon out and replaced it with an intestine. And so here they are, and they worked on him and stuff like that. And we prayed that God would touch him and help him through this surgery. And you know what? God did. God did. God helped him. Surgery, everything went perfectly fine. was looking at getting out, and all of a sudden he got an infection. Started running a high fever. Oh, here to the hospital I go. I go in there, brother, go there, tell him, let's pray for you. I began to pray for him. God would help us and God would touch him. And you know what? God healed him of that infection. Thank you, Jesus. You get home and it's like you barely get home and the phone rings. Something else is wrong. Back to the hospital you go. Walk into that room and there he is. And he's in such pain and misery. And he's got an infirmity. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. So you pray for him and stuff. And finally the doctor said, okay, I think everything's good. We need to release him to a rehabilitation center so he can get some therapy. So, Sister Stacy, we put him in a rehabilitation center so he could get some therapy. And I go in there, you know what? And here's this 80-year-old man, and he's in all these hoops and loops and machines and stuff. And he's walking and stuff, and it's holding him up and stuff. And he's trying to exercise and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, well, how are you feeling? I feel horrible. Well, let's pray. God touching. God, we pray and stuff like that. I get home and stuff. Next morning, the phone rings. Sister Goldair. You need to pray for Brother Goldair. He's got an infection. To the rehabilitation center we go. Anoint with oil, pray for him. He gets better. Get home. He should be getting out of there. You know, he's in there for a couple of weeks so he can get his therapy and stuff like that. And then, you know, a couple of days later, phone rings, Sister Goder. Pray for Brother Goder. He's in so much pain that they don't know what's causing it. Back to the therapy center we go. Pull up, go into the room. All right, let's pray. We pray for him. They send him in for MRIs and looking at, I don't know what's wrong. Yeah, surgery looks good. Everything's healing properly and everything's healing like it should. And, you know, everything's good. All right, well, let's pray. We pray and God touched him. Something else is wrong. Pray and God touched him. Something else is wrong. Pray and God touched him. Something else is wrong. Pray and God touched him. This day I'm over at Children's Medical Center downtown Houston and young lady's in the church and she's having surgery on something. And so we're sitting there waiting through the surgery and pray. We prayed for her and stuff, and I'm sitting there, and my phone rings, and I look at Sister Goldair. Praise the Lord, Sister Goldair. She's crying. She's hysterical. Now, let me just say, Brother Goldair was, I had went and visited him, and he looks like death warmed over. You know, and here's a good saint of God, faithful saint of God. He sat under Brother Verbal Bean, if anybody knows who that is. He sat under Brother Verbal Bean. Verbal Bean was his pastor for years. And he's just a good saint of God. And so now he's on his deathbed. I'm like, God, please, please help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And I turned around and looked at Sister Goder and I said, if you don't get him out of here, they're going to kill him. You know, we went in one night. We got called in late one night, and they finally let us in through the locked doors and stuff. And he's in there, and he's hallucinating. He's hallucinating, and he's like, he's scared to death. Pray, pray, pray. There's demons everywhere. Look, there's a demon right there. The big old hairy demon. He's trying to get me. Pray. We're praying against these hallucinations that he's having and stuff. And they had overdosed him for the weekend. That's kind of what they have known for, you know. The weekend, they overdose him so that their weekends are nice and quiet and stuff and go back on Monday. Well, they had overdosed him and such and like that. And so here he is and stuff. We're praying for him. God touch him after several hours. He falls asleep and stuff. And so we go in there on Monday and he's basically checking out. He's gone. And so I looked at him, you know, and he's back in the 60s or 40s somewhere. And he's a soldier in the war. And so he's just there, real stoic. I was like, Brother Goldair, can you hear me? Yes, sir. Brother Goldair, how are you feeling? Good, sir. Okay, Brother Goldair, we're going to pray for you. Yes, sir. We pray for him. I told Sister Goldair, I said, if you don't get him out of here, they're going to kill him. So I don't know what to do. Wits in. Go, Texas Children's Hospital, praying. Sister Goldair calls. She's frantic. She's like, they're rushing him to the emergency room right now. They don't know what's going on, but he's in so much pain and everything. It's like, okay. I said, I'm praying. I said, I'll be on my way in just a little bit. So get news, surgery goes okay. Go get in my truck, and here we go. Driving from Houston downtown Houston out to Katy. Driving down there and just praying to God. God, what is this? I don't understand it. I just don't understand. God, we've prayed for him. He's got so much faith that you're going to heal him. And so many times you've touched him and you've healed him and you've brought him through, God. And I just don't understand all this. God, what is it? What's going on? The Lord spoke to me and said, it's a spirit of infirmity. And I said, stop. I said, what do you mean? The Lord spoke to me. He said, every time you pray for it, it moves. Changes. Goes away. Shows back up. Pray for an infection. God heals him. Then we got pain. Pray for the pain. They find out nothing's wrong. Something else. Pray for this. Heals. Something else happens. Pray for this. Something else happens. God heals him. Something else happens. Just spirit. Just showing itself in different ways, different forms, different views and such. And I said, I see it. Walked into the emergency room. They let me back. I went into his room. He's covered up in the sheet in the fetal position. I walk in. Sister Godair standing over there with her little purse. And she's sitting there. And she's been crying and stuff. And so I walked in. And I laid my hands on him. Laid my hands on his shoulder. He's under the sheet. He's shaking. He stops shaking. He immediately says, I know whose hand that is. I know whose hand that is. I know whose hand that is. And he pulling the sheet off. And he looks into my eyes and he smiled and he said, I knew that was my pastor. I said, Brother Godair, I'm here to pray for you. And I said, but this time I said, we're going to pray against a spirit of infirmity. I said, because it's not infection. It's not pain. It's not messed up surgery. It's not sickness. I said, it's a spirit of infirmity. I said, we're going to pray against it right now. I said, and God's going to touch you. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he believed that every time that I prayed, God was going to touch and God was going to heal. And it happened. I prayed for him, a man that had been on his deathbed, looking out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good, sir. Just a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, in the hospital now, in the emergency room, getting shipped off for MRIs and all this other stuff to find out what's wrong for him. I laid hands on him and I began to pray and the power of God came down. I told him, I said, I'm going to church to preach tonight. And I said, I'll be back in the morning to see you. He said, okay. So I went to church that night and I preached. Next morning, I came back, found out what room that he had been admitted to. I went in, kind of gently tapped on the door. It was early in the morning. I tapped gently on the door and kind of opened it. A man that had been on his deathbed just a couple of days ago. A man that had been basically unresponsive. A man that had been so feeble and so weak and such for 3 months. Just nothing that's there. And I peek in. He's out of his bed. He's sitting in a chair beside his bed, eating a full breakfast. And I said, well, look at you. And he said, yes, sir. I said, what happened? He said, God touched me. And I said, well, God healed you. He said, yes, sir. In just a couple of days, he walked out of that hospital. Because things had been addressed correctly. And there's things that's been bothering me. Things that's been affecting me. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But I'm just saying that even when I have spoke of it, I have felt it myself. I was talking to Brother Josh about spirits of infirmity and such. And I felt it from there. Today, wrestling to get this message together, knowing what I'm going to preach, feel sickness that comes up on me and feeling like, you know what, I feel like just going home. But I understand, amen, that the enemy knows he does not want to be exposed. And I feel personally, I feel like I called Brother Moody up and I said, Brother Moody, I need you to help me. I said, this is what I feel. And I said, you correct me if I'm wrong. And so I began to talk to him about it. I said, you know what? And I said, it hops all over the church. Hops all over the church. We got this one sick, amen, and that's overcome by this. And then it's like when they get better, then this one gets sick. And when this one gets better, then this one gets sick. And then when this one gets better, this one's sick. And then it just cycles back around, amen. And it's the same ones over and over and over. And I'm not pointing fingers and I'm not accusing and I'm not belittling or anything else like that. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm talking about a spirit. Amen, that knows and that uses everything to his benefit and such. And Brother Moody said, I'm going to ask you a question. Answer me. I said, okay. He asked me that question. I thought about it for a little while. I'm not going to tell what the question was. But he asked me a question. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. You're right. I would say exactly. He said, then it's a spirit of infirmity. He said, and you're going to have to get the church to pray. I said, okay. And so I got off the phone and I felt the unction of the Holy Ghost that was there. I wanted to call church on Monday night. I wanted to call everybody up and say, be at church tonight because we're going to have church. But it's time some things broke. It's time some things give up. And so this is what we're going to do tonight. Now, let me finish the message out first, because I want you to understand that here is a woman with an issue of blood, and she has felt opposition for 12 years. She has went to doctor to doctor to doctor and said, somebody would say, but have you been to doctor so-and-so because they're good? She spent her money and she went to doctor so-and-so because he was good. And doctor so-and-so couldn't help him. He couldn't help her. She had wasted all of her money. She didn't have any. Well, you need to go see doctor so-and-so. Don't do any good. I don't have any money to go see him. I'm done. It's over. But she heard that Jesus was there. And she had heard all kinds of stories about Jesus. She said, we're going to fix this right now. And so she's weak. She's feeble. She has an infirmity, not necessarily a spirit of infirmity, but she has an infirmity against her. And she goes out. Now she has a variable. She has opposition from a different way. Jesus is completely thronged by people, and he doesn't have an appointment calendar. And so here she is in her weak condition, and she said, I've got to get from here to there. And look at all of this opposition here. But she said, if I get from here to there, it's going to be worth it. And so she did what was necessary, and she pressed through. Somebody may have given her an elbow to the face. Back off, lady. I just want to be touched. So do all of us. I just need to get to Jesus. So do I. She was met by all kinds of opposition. She may have started crawling through some and got her fingers stepped on. She may have been pushed aside by a foot. She may have been shoved aside, but she refused to be deterred. She just kept pushing. I don't know how long it took, but finally she came to the place that she was within arm's reach of Jesus, and she would not be denied. And not being able to embrace him, she simply reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and the Bible said that she was immediately made whole. And Jesus would turn and he would say, whoa, who touched me? And the disciples like saying, well, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at everybody that's around it. That word that speaks that he was the pressure that was there, that word means that he was surrounded on all sides. On all sides. It didn't matter. There was no easier side to get. Well, maybe from front. No, from back. No, from the side. No, no. There was no easy way to it. She just had to do it. You know why there was so much opposition against that woman that day? Because go to Mark chapter number 6 and look at the last verse in that chapter. And the Bible said that a lot of people heard what she did. A lot of people heard that she pressed through everybody and touched the hem of his garment. And so they're like, you know what? I may not get on Jesus' calendar, amen, so that I can get a session with him so that he can touch me and talk to me and heal me and all this other stuff. But if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole because that woman over there did it. And the Bible said that they came to him in throngs, amen, and they were just reaching to touch him. And the Bible said that many reached out and touched just the hem of his clothes, and they were healed, amen. Opposition became, amen, a non-issue because everybody began to realize, if she can do it, I can do it. I don't have to have this big saying. I don't have to have somebody lay hands on me and shake me and all. I understand all that is biblical, amen, but what the woman said, if I can just touch him. Not necessarily that he touches me. If the responsibility was upon her. If I can just touch him, I shall be made whole. And she pressed and she pushed and she crawled and she fought and she got her way through and she touched him. But what she did opened up a huge door. Amen. That was miraculous unto hundreds. Amen. Of people, because everybody realized, I don't have to get face to face with him. I don't have to have him look at me and say, be thou healed. I don't have to have him say, take up your bed and walk. I don't have to have him say, amen, and touch my eyes and do this. All I've got to do is touch the hem of his garment. If I can get through the opposition and just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And many that day went, and they pressed through the opposition, and they touched the hem of his clothes. And the Bible said that he healed them all. Let's stand. I know I've been long tonight, but I was short this morning. I want us to gather up around the front.